Hello guys, welcome to a brand new episode of the Black Spin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And guys, welcome to our Roland Garros French Open preview.
Salut à tous.
Well done, Eugene. Salut à tous. À tout le
okay,
monde.
Okay, listen man, just give me
bonjour, some. Bonjour à tout le monde. Bienvenue au podcast. Je suis Lucie et toi, t'es qui?
Je suis Alan Eugene.
Yeah.
Just fumbled. I'm sorry. Got nervous.
No, you did well. From hola a todos to bonjour tout le monde.
Multilingual. I'm trying to be like you, Lucy, man.
It is what it is. How you feeling, Eugene?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm looking forward to this, you know. I'm really looking forward to Roland Garros this year. Like, I feel like because we've had a lot of success, especially on the women's side. Mm-hmm. There's reason to be excited. What about you?
For sure. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think I had this much excitement for Roland Garros initially. But yeah, I'm really excited. But I think also I want to give us props. We've been podding a lot, like the last two weeks, like
content.
Our third pod.
Content.
And I think this is actually helping me to be even like more excited for
it.
I
love
talking
that.
About it a lot, especially that I've been open to you about how I was feeling like so yeah, this is actually exciting. So yeah, this is the first time in a while that I'm actually excited a lot for Roland Garros, except for when I remembered that for the UK watchers and actually also in the US, the French Open will be on TNT Sports. No longer on Eurosport. Now, if you're like me, who was not a massive fan of the Eurosport UX and was begging for it to be gone, it looks like we prayed a bit too hard and we should be careful for what we wish for. Because now what with TNT Sports, which isn't too bad, the only issue is the cost is a little bit high. So, yeah, I won't blame some of you guys if you're not going to watch it. Yeah, so
that
just a reminder
annoying.
On that. It is very annoying. It's very annoying. And that won't be just the case for French Open. This will be also be for Australian Open because they used to be on Eurosport.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it is unfortunate, but it's just for everyone. Even in the US, they're covering the TNT Sports covering French Open, hence why they have this massive big list of, like, you know, broadcasters and everything, which will... We'll see how that goes. You know?
No, I'm looking forward to it. What a draw. Like, it's so, I think on both sides, there's reasons to be kind of excited.
It reminds me a little bit of like Indian Wells, where we were going into Indian Wells and not really knowing who are like the big players is going to take the title. You know, that was like Sinner was gone. Alcaraz's form wasn't like the greatest of the best. Same with the women as well. It was a little bit up and down, especially with the top three at that point. Sabalenka, Igor, Coco. And to me, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I like when I'm going to a tournament and I'm like, I don't know who's going. And it's even more exciting when it's both. Yeah, obviously everyone still has their favorites. For the women, a lot of people probably have Sabalenka still as their favorite, which I can understand. Again, credits to her, this season's been remarkable. The men, some might still pick Alcaraz, especially that he's been playing a lot better this clay season. And, you know, he just won a title at Rome. So yeah, that's how I feel. How do you feel?
Yeah, no, exactly. I think we're gonna get a winner on the women's side, as in a black spin winner. So we'll see. But even on the men's,
we didn't even get to the predictions yet. He's ready. He's like, you know what?
He's gone early. But even on the men's side, like, yeah, I feel like, again, like you said, Sinner being back, Alcaraz is playing well. Like, there's going to be some good tennis, like, played, I think,
for sure.
across the 2 weeks. So I'm looking forward to that. I think we should start with women, though.
Yeah, let's start with women. Before we get to that, obviously the ceremony was today. Can you explain to me why Usman Dembele was there?
He's like the go-to man in Paris right now. PSG Champions League finalist.
Oh, you didn't even clock that was saying it. I was like, Eugene is like straight football serious. Like, nah, he's the guy. He should
be
there.
Come on, man. French World Cup winner.
Yeah, but hold on. This is Roland Garros. The same, like, is French Open. It's just tennis. Like, you don't think it's a bit surprising that a football player
not really.
Is
I want to see more of that.
At the draw ceremony.
Definitely.
I'm not mad at it,
Lucy,
but I feel like...
PSG are in the Champions League final. So, like, it's a big deal. And that's going to be played soon.
Okay, fair enough. My bad.
Carlos Alcaraz is a big football guy. He's a massive, I think, Real Madrid fan.
My bad, bro. I was just asking a question. Okay, Eugene was looking at me like, why are you asking silly questions, bro? Is Usman bloody Dembele?
I like seeing him there. It was cool.
That's the thing. I wasn't upset about seeing him there. Yeah. I was just surprised. And for context, for those, obviously we have a lot of American listeners. For those who don't know, he's just a soccer player for PSG. So he was at a ceremony. I think there was other celebrities, but Usman Dembele obviously being him, you know.
He was actually literally picking out names.
So can you understand a little bit why I'm like, wait, Usman Dembele?
I liked it. Okay, of course, it's like, I guess, odd or strange, like a non-tennis player being present, but...
Exactly.
Why not?
Okay. My bad, bro. I was just asking a question. That's it. But, okay, cool. So let's get with the woman. We're going to start off with Coco Gauff.
Second seed.
Thank you. I was just about to check. So her draw, by the way, if you are listening on audio, we actually put the draw on the screen for the ones who are on YouTube. Shout out to our YouTube subscribers. Hey. Because if I say all the names on these draws, I'm a butcher it. Okay. So in all honesty, looking at her draw, to me personally, it looks good.
Decent.
I'm not that scared. I think it will only get a little bit tough when she gets to the fourth round, where she could face Krejcikova. And I think if she doesn't face her, she will be okay. I definitely see her going to the second week. But honestly, she's been on form this clay season. She's been playing really well. Again, the issue that she's having, we've said this before, the errors, the double faults. I really, really hope that she's been taking some time during this week to work on it, because that's literally the only thing that's really like costing her. But yeah, how do you feel?
Yeah, no, I'm always confident about Coco. Like, so this is her sixth Roland Garros. She's always made it well. She's her first appearance was in 2020, and yeah, she was the second round. Since then, she's always made second week. Like, consistency, obviously a former runner up as well. That's 2022. Last year, semi-finals, like clay is a surface she's very comfortable on. So I don't like looking at like projected draws and like who she can play second round, third round, fourth, like, because yeah, things could happen in the first round. So, and that just blows everything up in terms of potential opponents. But just going by her form, back-to-back clay court finals, or WTA 1000 finals, sorry, Madrid and Rome, she's playing good tennis. And I feel like, yeah, her confidence is pretty high, and rightly so. That opening round, Olivia Gadecki, she's a good player, Australian. Like, she's a decent player, but I think that's a nice opening round for Coco, like, to kind of ease her way in. And I don't really expect her to, cause Coco too much trouble, really. Good opening round for Coco. And I think... Yeah, not to get too excited, but yeah, the draw does look good for her. And she's just one of the most informed players as well. And I think that's going to, that will stand her in good stead, like, for this fortnight. So, we look forward to seeing how she proceeds.
For sure. A massive good luck to our girl, Coco. I'm actually kind of excited to see what she will wear for, you know, French Open.
Oh, yeah, the fit, of course.
Yeah, because the Miu Miu was only for Rome. And the next one we're going to see will be at Berlin during the grass season. So, yeah, let's see. Maybe she might just go back to what she wore in Madrid. Who knows, maybe. But
interesting.
We'll see anyways.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Up next, Queen of Italy. World champion. Jasmine Paolini. Good draw as well. I think... Likewise as Coco, I feel like the fourth round, this French Open, they're looking really, really, really good. But yeah, fourth round will be interesting for me. I feel like because of Elena Svitolina, I feel like Svitolina, honestly, when she cracks on, she's like really good. They've had very tight, intense matches as well. And Svitolina, when she's playing against top players as well, she's been, you know, she can bring her A game. But yeah, obviously Jasmine Paolini, we need to remember she's a finalist from last year. So, on top of her being a finalist last year, recent Rome champion, there's definitely a lot of eyes on her. Do you think that she'll be able to defend her points?
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm going to say she's definitely going to go deep. But yeah, but basically I don't want to say my favorite. I mean, you probably already know who my favorite is. But yeah, I think second week for Jasmine. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't think now, I think Rome was such a good kind of example of where she's at, like mentally, as well as obviously mm-hmm. her game. Like she, not only did she play well, but like she dealt with the pressure of like all the eyes being on her, being like the home favorite, and like, yeah, the expectation now, because she's, yeah, one of the top, she's recognized as one of the top, like top four women now in the game, and rightly so. So I feel like she's basically this year, she's dealt with that kind of pressure better than, well, last year, because last year it was like all kind of, I guess it was just all like momentum. Like she was just playing and like, it was just a thing of everything just happening.
It was whereas, new and everything.
Yeah. Whereas now it's like, wow, like I'm actually established. Like people know who I am. Like players are scared to see me. And like now she needs to basically play to the ranking, and she's doing that. So again, I don't think a lot of, no one's going to want to see Jasmine Paolini like in their section of the draw. And I do think she's going to go deep again. I finals, I don't know.
Yeah, but I get why you're a bit thinking, because from her quarterfinals, for example, she could get Iga, Rybakina, Ostapenko, we know how she is. Semi-finals, she could get Sabalenka, Qin Wenzheng, or Schneider. So yeah, I feel like, and that's what I was saying, from like round four, if she passed round four, it could be good, but quarterfinals, semifinals, depending who gets there, it could be really tough.
Because even in that round four, sorry to cut you, but like it could be Vekic, Donna Vekic, and like
that's true. Do you know why I didn't really mention Donna Vekic? Because it's clay.
Yeah, I suppose she won a silver medal at the Olympics, no, or was it bronze?
True. Well. Okay, fair enough.
Like, she can play on clay.
On Vekic. My bad, bro. but yeah, we'll see how it goes anyways. But I agree with you. She's definitely making second week. And I just hope that, I feel like one thing about Paolini, she knows how to handle the quote-unquote pressure, because I don't feel like she has it in her. If she plays like she did during Rome, as we said before, like she was playing with so much freedom and stuff, she'll be good.
Definitely.
She'll be fine.
Yeah. Hi, guys. This is just a quick break. If you are enjoying our show and our podcast, please make sure to leave a review and rate our show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other DSPs. This will help us to reach a wider audience just like you and get a lot more listeners, so we can keep on building our community and give you these great podcasts as well.
And if you're watching on YouTube, please make sure you subscribe.
And as you can see here, our beautiful merch. Make sure you go on Blackspin Global Podcast to cop our merch. This actually helps us fund this platform to keep on giving you these podcasts, and most importantly, to attend to the tournaments. And now we'll head back to the show. Thank you again for listening and tuning in.
Up next, we have our girl, Naomi Osaka.
We should go with seeds, Lucy. I know you haven't got it in order here.
Yeah, I didn't put it...
We should definitely go Keys, Madison Keys.
My bad, yeah.
Being the seventh seed.
There's actually a lot of talk about her right now, because her husband mentioned that clay is actually her best surface.
And she's won a couple of titles on clay, exactly.
I mean, yeah, and there's some people that are making noise. They're like, what is he talking about? But guys, if you know your ish, then you know who he's talking about. But let me just quickly read what he said. I think it gives her time to set up a little bit more. her forehand. She has a big swing. It takes time for her to produce the shot. And I think this surface gives her a little extra second to think and get set with her feet. And then also, you know, her ball speed is so big. And I think despite the slow conditions, she can still hit through them. I think she's going to get a little bit extra on the ball, obviously, with the new frame and stuff. So I don't know why it was like a shock to some people. Again, as you said, she's won some titles. She's gone deep at the French Open as well.
Semi-finalist 2018.
Yeah, and other clay tournaments. So I don't think it's far-fetched. I think compared to other... I just feel like I wish she played a little bit more on the surface. I think Madison Keys in general, she's not really the type to play a lot of matches, especially as of recently, like late in her career. Like, she will play like 2-3 tournaments, but then still make it deep, which I understand. Like, I'm not mad at, but I feel like if she played a bit more during the clay season, she probably would have, maybe people would have realized how good she is. And I think people like you and I, or people who know about Keys games won't be too surprised when they hear like her husband saying, making this comment. Yeah. So,
because I mean, this year she played Charleston, which is, mm-hmm. she plays that quite a lot. She did lose round of 16 there. Madrid, she got to the quarterfinals in Madrid, where she lost to Swiatek in 3 sets.
Yeah, and she bageled Ego even the first set.
And then in Rome, she lost in the third Stones. Round. So, yeah, that was a tight three-setter against Stearns, who went on... She was on a ridiculous run. So yeah. she has played matches, like, on clay this year. She did take some time off after Australia, which was understandable.
Yeah, she took, like, a long time off. And she still came back and played that much. So yeah.
Being the seventh seed, like, again, she's going to be a name. She starts against the qualifier. So we don't know who she plays yet in the first round. But, yeah, she's... done well. Like, she's basically gone deep at Roland Garros. Like, she's former semi-finalist. I think she's definitely going to make second week, and then from there it's like anything can happen. So
she could play KE Bolter in the second round, and potentially the
British number one,
potentially either Azarenka or Kenin. Or the Kenin for third round will be very interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
So we shall see. But yeah, a good luck to our girl.
Daddy, let's go.
Yes. Naomi Osaka. Looking at her draw.
Clayomi.
She's had a really good clay season. I do want to check something because she is facing Badosa the first round.
MC.
And everyone is like,
that is tough, Lucy.
I don't agree.
What do you mean? It's
Paula.
I want to say Badosa right now. She's in Strasbourg. I think she's like in the semi-finals.
And guess what? She's like 4-2 down on the last set at the moment.
Who's she playing?
Samsonova.
Samsonova's a good player, though. But yeah, no,
a bad player. My thing is, this is my thing. When I saw the draw, everyone's like, oh my gosh, blockbuster Badosa. Oh, Osaka Badosa. Badosa has barely played this.
Yeah, she's been struggling. She's been struggling with injury. Yeah. But
She pulled out 10 minutes before their last match, meaning Patrick has already prepared Osaka for this match.
That scout report is ready. Yeah.
It is ready. So they prepared. She probably was like, oh, okay, Badosa, fine. Like, I was supposed to face
you. That's a great point. Yeah.
Calm, number one. Number two, Badosa is not the problem is, I feel like people saw the name Badosa and started thinking about Badosa a couple months ago, like when she was on form. And it's not like she's on form because she's a bad player. It's because she's been dealing with injuries. You have Osaka, who's been playing more, won a title, who's been going deep, and she's been dealing with tougher matches. Like, I need you guys to have a little bit more faith on Clayomi right here. A little bit more, okay? Because right now, because even like this clay, this has been, she has not played since Miami Open. Madrid Open, she didn't play. Rome didn't play. And then now, this tournament in Strasbourg is literally her only tournament.
Oh, yeah, as in Badosa. I thought you meant the soccer. I was like, huh? But yeah, no, Badosa.
No, Badosa.
Yeah,
yeah, Badosa.
Yeah.
And even the round before that she's playing right now, she got a walkover because Buskova just...
she retired early. Yeah.
So I was just so confused. Like, I was looking at the other round. Everyone's mentioning Badosa. I'm like, guys... Just because she's a Spaniard and it's clay doesn't mean that they're automatically a threat, okay? Let's calm down. And let's put. And to me, I think the reason why I was a little bit annoyed is because I kind of feel like it dismissed all the hard work that Osaka has been making. Like, look what she's done this clay season compared to look what Badosa done this clay season. All respect, like, Badosa's still a great player, but she's not on form this clay season compared to Osaka. Now, if I do all this waffling and it changes something... My bad, bro. But, you know, I want y'all to put my thing is I want you guys to just put a little bit more respect on Kleomi. Okay?
I think that's valid. I think that's very valid.
But regarding the rest of her thing, again, rest of her draw, I think it's somewhat going to be, depending on the Osaka that we're getting, it's going to be fine. But I feel like round four might be a little bit more troubling. She might be facing either Andreeva or Putintseva. And with that player, I believe that they head to head just matches, but I can't remember what their clay is. But either way.
Who's this? Putintseva?
Yeah. Either way.
We'll get that on the WTA app on the phone. It's not on the website yet. People chill out.
Oh gosh. I'm okay for Osaka this clay season, because I think also for me it's because I don't have the expectation of her lifting the trophy. If that happens, this is great. For me, I'm like, if she even makes it to the second round, I mean sorry, to the second week, we take it. Especially is later in her career that she's starting to improve on clay. It's not like, you know, she's been great on clay before 10 out of 10 and blah, blah, blah. Do you get what I mean? Like, this girl has not won a clay title since God knows when before this clay season. So I don't have, like, the maddest expectation. I think my only expectation is for her to make it at least to the second round based on how she's been playing this clay season. And, yeah, again, a little bit like Coco, we just need to minus the errors, because she's doing everything right. It's just that once she gets into her head, the errors piles up and it really costs her. But she's moving really well on clay. She has such nice shots. Her backhands has been really great.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think we didn't speak about it in the last pod, for the Paolini like celebration pod, but yeah, the match against Peyton Stearns, she was very close to winning that as Osaka. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, imagine if she did win, like what could that have done in terms of like her confidence, like going forward? But then also you've got to think, like you said, before this year, like she'd never won a title on clay. Like now she's won a title, even though it was 125. Listen, it's still a title. Like, and she did have to beat a lot of players in terms of like, well, a lot of home favourites, so a lot of French women. So the crowd would have been against her. But of course, there's also that added pressure of her being a Grand Slam champion, dropping down the level, like that expectation, of course you should be winning. She did that. So yeah, I think whatever happens, like this clay court season, or say this clay court season, this Roland Garros for Osaka, like she can look back at 2025's clay court season and be like, you know what? It was a good run. Like,
for sure.
So completely like you, there's no, I don't have any kind of expectations or, you know, I don't want to say high hopes, but yeah, I'm not putting any kind of pressure on her to like go deep at Roland Garros. Like, I think it's still very much a learning like process for her. I would not be surprised if she does make a run to like, third, fourth round. Like, I can see that. And that would be good going. Definitely.
I'm with you. I'm definitely with you. A massive, massive shout. Ooh. Speaking of Osaka, her latest collection, the Nike collection. I feel like each collection, it gets better and better. Mm. That skirt, it's just, girl, I need it available international. Okay.
So we'll see what the fit, we'll see what the fit's saying then as well. Because of course she's going to have a special
Oh
fit.
Yes, she announced the flower. It's the pink one.
Okay. I saw the shoes actually. Yeah, the shoes, yeah, the shoes look hard.
Really nice, yeah, the green. Yeah. So looking forward to her fit. So yeah, I'm very excited for the French Open fits, because this clay season, I did a TikTok on it, guys, check it out, on like the clay season fit. There wasn't a lot for me to talk about, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, aside, it was for me Wilson,
okay,
Coco with the Miu Miu. This was an unpopular opinion, but I did like the Asics thingy.
APC, okay, the collab.
The collab. Yeah,
Do you know what? Because I liked the Asics kit that Paolini was wearing in Stuttgart. I thought that was very clean.
That one's a dress one. Yeah, yeah, the dress,
it wasn't,
yeah.
It wasn't APC, but it, the way I thought it was just very nicely fitted.
Yeah, so exactly. So I felt like that for Rome as well. My point was, I like the fact that they were thinking outside the box. It was different.
Hmm.
It wasn't the same as the usual one. I think that's what I raised up. And okay. I also liked it on the men's with the sleeveless. Musetti looked really nice on it. The girls were going crazy. Oh, and a shout out to Musetti, second child coming soon. Hey, shout out to the pops. You know, that's why he's been out here making it far.
Grinding.
You know,
top 10
grinding, taking care of his kids. That's a real man right there. So yeah, shout out to Musetti. He announced it not too long ago. But yeah, those were my favorite. But we'll see. Non-black spin. Obviously, we can't talk about French Open without talking about Iga Świątek, who is everyone talking about right now. Her draw is looking.
Hey. Honestly, I don't want to like. I don't want to be that person or like that podcast or that, I don't know, that platform. I'm not going to be. Oh, woe is me! Like I say, woe is me. That's not the right term. Scrap that. I am not like that concerned about Iga Świątek's form, if that makes sense. Like I don't feel like she's like having a kind of, I don't know, a crisis. She's going to drop out of the top 10. That's not going to happen. Yeah, she's had some strange results, but yeah, she's gonna flip it. Like she's too good a player.
You think this Roland Garros she's going to do a madness?
Not this Roland Garros, but like this year, she will start to pick up results, definitely. But she's definitely going through a slump. Like that's the thing, 100%.
Okay. I don't know if I agree with that personally. Yeah, and I feel like if she does pick up, it'll probably be like the end of the year. Okay. So you see how Coco, you know, the beginning of last year, everyone was talking, she only won a 250 title, only for her to win a 1,000 title with the WTA finals. Iga might have something like that, where she's getting better at the end of the year. I don't think this Roland Garros she could, mainly not only because of her tough draw, but also with the fact that the top players they're grinding. Even the non-top players, they're going crazy. And one thing about tennis is that the second people can smell that a top player is doing, is moving a bit mad, they will take the opportunity. Yeah. Like, there's no kindness, especially in the WTA. They don't give a heck. It's not like the ATP where everybody is buddies, boys. Nah,
relax.
Bro. we are going, you know, the girls are fighting. They are fighting. So, yeah, Iga's going to be very, very, very tough for her. But again, this makes it exciting. This means that we're most likely going to get a new winner. Listen, Iga, you won it like 3-4 times. Is enough.
I don't know, man. We'll see.
It's true. You never know with tennis, because as soon as she lost her room, she was the next day. All I was literally posting a video of her hitting. She wasted no time. So yeah, but again, I've always said, I feel like as much as Iga's a great player, I don't think she has that mental toughness like many other players. I feel like when she has a lot of, not in a bad way, but I just feel like when she has a lot of eyes on her, especially right now, you know, where there's just so much going on, I think that will make her crack more than even her physical ability, if that makes sense.
It's an opinion, I guess, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it's just an opinion. It's not disrespectful. Yeah. I'm not saying she's mentally weak, but I don't think she has that dog in her is not the same as
someone. I think it kind of, it's more what you said before in terms of like players aren't as frightened by her anymore. Like,
exactly.
I think that's more of a thing than anything else. Like, players not as intimidated as they once were by playing against mm-hmm. her. So now it's for her to figure out a way to kind of get that kind of, I don't know, that fear factor back that she used to have. And it, like I said, I think it will come back. Like, she's too good a player for that not to come back.
I don't think Iga's going to be like this for like a long time. Like, yeah. At the end of the day, this happens. You're not, there's one time where you're low, and then there's one time you're back again.
Sport.
Exactly. So yeah. Other than her, first round we got Rebecca Nar Benchik, which I'm
crazy. That is a mad first round.
It is a mad first round. I saw, shout out to Anastasia, I think she said that she would have been more excited for this if it was hardcore, which I understand what she means. But considering that Rebecca and Benchik, like, they've been good, but it's been, you know, like, up in the end, it's clay. It could be exciting. So we'll see. What do you think about Sabalenka?
Yeah, so top seed, who does she start top against? Seed.
I think she starts with a
qualifier.
Yeah, qualifier.
Lucky loser. She's going to expect to go deep, isn't she? Of course. I don't think she's... Has she reached a final before?
No, Arina Sabalenka hasn't. I don't think so. Let me double check.
So that must be on her, like... That must be on a bucket list for her to, like, yeah, go deep. And hopefully win Roland Garros one day. Yeah, her best result was a semi-final in 2023. Semi-final
2023, last year, quarterfinals. So yeah, we shall see how that goes. Rakimova?
It's not a qualifier. Yeah, it's Rakimova.
She could face Collins in round three. She could face Amanda round four. Quarterfinal. We might get her for quarterfinals again with Qinwen Zhang. I feel like the early rounds are fine. I feel like, again, the later rounds is where it gets tough for the ladies. I feel like a lot of the top players, the first couple rounds, unless obviously the opponents just move mad out of nowhere, it seems calm. I think it's hard to give a prediction because they just hence on
why,
fire, man.
Hence why I hate giving predictions. But staying with the ladies or from a blacksmith perspective anyway, so... Alicia Parks, she has 14th seed, Daria Kasatkina. Karolina Mukova, my bad. Mukova's actually been playing, she's been struggling with injury as well of late.
Yeah, I was about to say, I haven't seen her in a minute, yeah.
But again, Parks, she's not had the best of results recently, so she's definitely going to be looking to put that right. There's also Hayley Baptiste, up to a career high, world number 70. Shouts out to Baptiste.
Yes, sir.
And again, Lucy, and we definitely said this earlier on in terms of pods earlier in the year, like the way she's going about her business this year, like she's coming and like there's consistency, like week to week, she's winning 2-3 matches at a time, like a tournament. So she wasn't doing that last year. So she's definitely becoming more comfortable like being a top 100 player, which is good to see.
And you can see on her game as well, she seems more focused. She seems more comfortable. She seems more like she's moving a lot better. I feel like before she didn't really get a lot of credit for her movement, but I feel like now she's smarter with her movements.
She seems
more comfortable with coming towards the net or like covering, you know, the court. But yeah, it's really nice to see. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season for her.
So she has the 23rd seed, Beatriz Haddadmaier, the Brazilian. I hope I'm saying that right. But that's going to be tough. Because again...
It's going to be an interesting one. But if she wins, that's going to be big.
Haddadmaier, she's also playing Strasbourg. I think she's through to the semi-finals in Strasbourg.
I think so. Let me double
check.
Got
a good win against Navarro. So that's going to be tough for Baptiste. And then Robin Montgomery. So she plays the French home favourite, Diane Parry, who's a wild card. That's going to be very interesting.
That's going to be interesting. That's going to be a bit tough.
But I'm going to say Montgomery's going to come through, you know.
I hope so. I think even if she doesn't, it would definitely be a free setter. I don't think it'll be like a free set.
And this will be her debut as well, that Roland Garros. So
nice.
And yeah, she's in straight off the back of her ranking, which again is that just shows where her game's at the moment. Like, she's trending in the right direction. So
for sure,
a lot of reason to be excited on the women's side. Are we going to give predictions at the end or
predictions at the end?
Okay. All right then. Cool. On to the men.
Before we actually start, I put here on the notes, like, how are you feeling about the men's? Because I feel like this clay season, we're talking about the WTA a lot. In the BSG perspective, except for Arthur Fils, obviously, he's been on fire this season. But this clay season has been a little bit, to be fair, before the call, you did remind me that Ben Shelton did reach the final Hamburg, was it?
Munich,
that's it, yeah, Munich. He lost to Zverev, was it?
Exactly, yeah. BMW Open.
But how do you feel?
Yeah, the clay season, it's a weird one because it is quite long when you think about it. Like, so
it actually is.
It kind of starts straight after, well, there are a few hard court tournaments after Australia. But yeah, there's a long lead up to Roland Garros.
That's actually true.
So, you probably forgot. Maybe not, but I'm going to remind people, Francis Tiafoe made a final in Houston.
True, in Houston.
And like I said, that was like months ago now. And he lost to Jensen Brooksby in that final. Mm-hmm. But again, yeah, like that's where he started his clay court season.
Yeah, and then obviously it felt like that was ages ago.
You know what I'm saying? Then straight off the back of that was Monte Carlo. Like, and then obviously Monte Carlo, we've had... Obviously, the other Masters 1000, Madrid, Rome. In between was Barcelona, Fils doing well in Barcelona. Like, so I think because we've not seen, well, from a black spin perspective anyway, we've not seen like anyone in a Masters 1000 final. It's like, oh, what's going on? Like, where nothing's really happening. But
yeah,
I feel like the smaller tournaments, the 500s, the 250s, we've had success. Just not. Like the winner's trophy, but yeah, runners up, still deep runs. And like you said with Fils has made, he's just having a great season. Like the consistency of Arthur Fils this year, like, man, it's fantastic to see.
For sure.
So I think, yeah, to answer your question, like I'm actually okay with it, but definitely the women have, I don't want to say outperformed, like there's been more to cheer about, but then there's also a lot to kind of, I don't know, admire, like on the men's side as well.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah. But speaking of Arthur Fils, his draw, it's a little bit tough. We need to keep in mind Arthur Fils have never made past a first round at the Roland Garros, and that never is 100%.
It's unreal.
Changing this year, okay? Because this is the real Arthur Fils. Again, we said it during the Rome review pod. I feel like I was not upset when he lost that match. I was like, yeah, my boy.
Save yourself.
Rest. Save that body.
Save yourself.
Let's do it home. Let's do it home. But he is on Sinner's side. He could potentially get Sinner on the round four, which I would absolutely love. Whether he wins or loses, I need that. So Arthur Fils, I am begging you, let's go past Jarry, Munar, Rublev, Lucky Loser, please just give me a little, a little Sinner Arthur Fils will be fire. But honestly, considering how he's been playing this clay season, there should be like, you see how I said I have no expectation for Naomi Osaka, blah blah blah. Yes, it's
a versus beast.
I'm being a little bit strict here. I'm a little bit strict,
man,
on my
no
boy.
Pressure, man.
That's because I see it, man. I see it for him. I said this year I want like a massive success for Arthur Fils.
Lucy, man, you got him. You know how old is Arthur Fils? Don't look it up. How old is he?
He's like 20.
He's 20 years old. Like
20.
20 years old, man.
It's crazy.
He's got a lot of time. Like, rest,
I know,
rest, relax.
I know, but no, nah, man. It will make so much sense for him to make a deep run with the season that he's been having. Yeah. I just feel like it would be great. And it would be great for him to experience the type of win at home. Like, even for the fans, the fact that they have to experience his win a lot of time when he goes to other tournaments and not necessarily at home, it's a little bit different. So, yeah, it would just... Even in terms of like the entertainment and what you could do too. Remember, I said in the last pod, like, there's a difference when someone is playing in their home country and they're playing well and they're winning and making it deep. And I feel like with Astrid Fils, considering that he's a black player, considering that, you know, I feel like he doesn't get promoted enough, in all honesty, with the type of players that he is. Like, we can take so much from him. He's entertaining. He is very competitive. He's very, very confident, which people hate to see on black people in general and black players, hence why the comments are full of "he's arrogant." No, he's just confident. Learn the difference. You know, he's handsome. The people like him. They always talk people always talk positively about Astrid Fils. From his game to the type of person that he is, and he's so focused, and it's been nice seeing him mature. So, and bro, I need this. I need that round 4 Cinematch. Please, tennis gods, Astrid Fils.
No, it will happen, man.
Astrid Fils, dad, please.
I do feel though as well. Like, everything you said is fact in terms of he's so marketable. Like, in so many ways, but also, yeah, he's got the talent to kind of back that up as well. But then, Lucy, one thing we need to realize too, as I guess media and fans, whatever, like the pressure of being a home player, like, that is kind of crazy. And he's 20 years old, so like, he's still learning how to deal with that. And now, yeah, like we said, or we've established before talking about him, he's never won a French Open match in terms of singles. So he's still looking to kind of cross that bridge, which he will do, of course. But we need to remember, the guy is 20, the 14th seed. Like, he's doing a lot of things right already. So let's not forget that.
That was me as a fan talking. Excitement got through me, you know?
I want him to progress as well. And I would love to see that match against Sinner, because that's going to be special, just in terms of the atmosphere. Like, exactly. Forget the tennis, like, the atmosphere. Can you imagine?
Exactly.
You know that's going to be on Philippe Chatrier. Like,
oh, yes.
The crowd are going to be absolutely insane.
Like, you need to be there, bro.
Listen, we might have to look into that.
Quick Eurostar.
But no, I'm looking forward to seeing Arthur this year, definitely.
For sure. I'm with you. The next seed we have, I believe Shelton's the next seed, Ben Shelton.
Well, to be fair, Ben Shelton's the 13th seed, so he's actually seeded above Fils.
Cool.
But yeah, Shelton, so he starts against Lorenzo Sonego.
Which is a repeat of the
2023 first round at Roland Garros.
What's interesting is that Shelton does lead the head-to-head, but the one match that Sonego won is that 2023 Roland Garros first round match as well. He won it four sets. It was a long match. I think two of those sets were a tiebreak. But yeah, I'm hoping, you know, Shelton's gonna come looking for revenge.
It's 2-1 in the head to head, like you said. Their last meeting was this year in Australia, quarterfinal, and that again was a four setter. So I think going into this one, of course, Shelton lost to Sonego in Paris in 2023. But I mean, he's a different player now, isn't he? Like, and in terms of improvement, like, he's made a lot of improvements since then. So
yeah,
I think he's going to be quite confident.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at, and it looks like, and to be fair, it seems like this clay season, Shelton has had a better performance than him. He has lost first round to nearly all of his clay tournaments, except for the Madrid Open, where he won the first round but lost to to Alex on the second round. So yeah, like we said, Shelton made it all the way to the final. He's played a little bit more as well. I played more matches than him, a little bit more on form. So yeah, Shelton should be able to secure this one. Yeah. And I believe Shelton is in Alcaraz's quarter. Let me double check. Yes, he is. So we could get, you know, fourth round, little Alcaraz Shelton. That would be very interesting. But we'll see.
Interesting. I see there's
By the way, Paula Badosa lost her match. So yeah, again, guys, respect and Naomi. Okay, sorry, let's go. Tiafoe's draw as well doesn't look
15th seed, Tiafoe.
Yep, doesn't look too bad. He is on Fitz draw. I'm a little bit scared, but obviously you said that at Houston, you know, to be fair, Roland Garros doesn't do too bad. I think the furthest he's gone is fourth round.
I think that's the best he's done. I think he's made second week once. But the player he plays first round though, it's Roman Safulin, and we know what happened when he played him last time.
Wait, what happened again?
Shanghai, where he lost. Where he lost it with the umpire.
Oh, yeah, but that was more the empire. So
exactly.
You know, it's okay.
No, I think Tiafoe is playing some good tennis. He did lose in Hamburg to Baptiste Agu. But Baptiste Agu is playing inspired, man. For Tiafoe, like I always say that he's an all surface player. Like he can basically turn it on every surface. That's why, like whenever he does make runs, and he's got the time to kind of back it up. He's won on every surface. So that speaks for itself. But I guess what I'm trying to say is whenever he does make deep runs, I'm never surprised because I know he's got it in him basically. So the form, like we've established, he did reach the Houston final at the start of this clay court season. And that since then he's had like some indifferent results here and there on the clay in Europe, but this is a Grand Slam. Like players do tend to up their level, like when it comes to Grand Slams. So I would not be surprised to see Tiafoe again making a run to the second week. Safulin's going to be tough. Like that's a tough opener, definitely. I can see that going to four, possibly five. But again, that's a nice match to kind of get your tournament going. So we'll see how he goes.
For sure. In terms of non-black spin, for me, I feel like Alcaraz had a really smooth draw. Do you think he'll be able to defend
he sounds quite confident. I saw some quotes during the ceremony saying how he's feeling good, obviously after Rome beating Sinner in his own country. Alcaraz is playing some good ball, man. He obviously, we know clay is his surface, so whatever
do you think he's gonna defend his title?
I wouldn't be surprised. I'll say that.
Okay.
But at the same time, I don't know. What about you?
I think he is.
Okay.
I think he is because I actually think Sinner returning has given like a switch to Alcaraz.
A lot of time
people actually only talk about the impact Sinner has on Alcaraz. I don't think a lot of people do it the other way around, especially that this is clay season. Maybe if it was the other surface, I could understand. And only other surface, I'll even say hard court, because obviously Alcaraz has two Wimbledon titles and he beat the greatest to get it. One of the greatest. Paraphrase. Oh, happy birthday, Djokovic. Only me would be shady and then say happy birthday. Now, respect to Djokovic still, but I feel like people don't really talk about that impact that he has on him, and I feel like it probably, at the end of the day, Alcaraz is still a very competitive person. Like, this guy, when he goes on switch mode, is crazy. And I think Sinner being back has brought that feel back to him. So the fact that Sinner's back, the fact that it's Clay, I think has given him, you know, that confidence. And before even Sinner came back, he was already in, like, a different mental state, and which is why he won Monte Carlo and then he won all these other titles during the Clay season. Like, he was already like, all right, cool. We stopped the nonsense now. Even though, to be fair, I kind of feel like people were a bit too harsh on Alcaraz when Sinner was out. I feel like they were, me included, you know, but I was, to be fair, actually, no, let me say, not even me included, because I wasn't expecting just Alcaraz. I wanted all the top players to go to step up. But I feel like a lot of people were only putting on Alcaraz because, number one, you know, you had a lot of people expecting him to take the number one spot. You had a lot of people expecting him to collect all the titles. He still won Rotterdam. It was a 500 title. It's still something, you know, like, yeah, fair enough. He lost early in, like, you know, the other rounds, the other tournaments. Miami Open, it was Draper who took him out, and Draper ended up winning the title anyway. So he lost to the champion, who's been really on form. Draper was a finalist again, another 1,000 tournaments. It's not like he lost to just anybody. So I do feel like there was
Indian Wells, my bad.
So I feel like there's been like a lot on him when didn't really need to, especially considering, like, look at Alcaraz EV, bro. Like, it's actually insane what this guy has. Like, it's different.
Do the research. 100%.
Boy, it's only talking about Sinner, but bro, Carlos Alcaraz is built different. So I think he could actually defend his title and easily as well. If he doesn't, just a distraction again. Because, again, I feel like Alcaraz, a lot of time when he loses, is not really his opponent. It's actually him.
Yeah, no, for real. Yeah,
a lot. Not every time. Obviously, we have to give credit to the opponents, but a lot of time, some of the matches that he's losing, it's just him. That's why his fans, they stress as hell when they're watching. Reminds me a bit of Sabalenka as well. And look, they're both great. They both got titles. They both do really good in so many different surfaces as well. So, yeah. Hey, we'll see.
No, well said.
Round one blockbusters from the men. I'm not really getting it. Oh. I do have a round two, which you mentioned and you reminded me, Monfils and Draper.
I was going to say, we haven't spoken about the black spin players. Like, we've got some black men in the seeds. So we've got Felix Auger-Aliassime, 29th seed. Yes. So he starts against Matteo Arnaudi. Arnaudi used to give, he's given feasts a lot of trouble on the clay in Paris.
Yeah, but he's still in Hamburg as we speak right now, playing the quarterfinals.
He's playing very well in Hamburg. Yeah, I'm liking how he's playing, man.
He knocked out Giovanni in straight sets.
Serving so well.
Before. Yeah.
But yeah, he's got Matteo Arnaudi first round.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Felix has made the quarterfinals. Let me just make sure. He's
the semifinals, no?
Was it the semis?
The one where he lost to
Rafa
Nadal.
Was that a semi-final? If it was my it bad, bro. It was a quarter-final, you see. 2021.
Oh, quarter-final. My bad, bro. The one that Uncle Tony robbed
from. No, my bad. It was a fourth round. I'm looking at Wimbledon. Sorry. It was a fourth round. So he's made the second week. My point is, there's no reason why Felix Auger-Aliassime should not be progressing past second week, fourth round, quarterfinals. Like, again, he's got the game to play on clay and he has titles to back that up. And yeah, of course, he's not had the best of seasons. He's said that, like, he struggled this year. He has won two titles early in the year, which we spoke about.
Mm.
They were on hard courts. But yeah, for me, like, again, something's going to click with Felix. And I feel like it's going to be at a Grand Slam. That's going to be an event. A Grand Slam event is where it's going to all change for Felix Auger-Aliassime. That is also my heart speaking, but a lot of my head too. Because, yeah, again, the talent, he's just too good a talent. Like, he should not be the 29th seed. Like, he needs to be up in the top 20. He's a top 10 player. But, of course, the results of late have not been, you know, of that standard.
Well, but to be fair, he's, at the beginning of the season, he was doing well.
That's what I'm saying, exactly. He won the two titles. Yeah.
He won two titles. He was about to go on a three-peat, but he lost to Tsitsipas. But yeah, so we'll see.
So, again, we'll see with Felix. But yeah, Amnaldi, first round. And then Giovanni Pecci-Pericard, 31st seed. So, again, we did mention him winning the challenger in our last pod. But him winning that challenger basically got his ranking up in order for him to be seeded at the French. Smart. So great timing. So yeah, he starts against the Belgian Zizou Bergs. That is a good opening round, I think, for Pecci-Pericard. Again, he's never won at Roland Garros as well. So he's looking for his first win at Roland Garros.
Mm.
And again, to be seeded, like, it's these are big achievements.
For sure.
Gael Monfils, like we said. So he starts against Hugo Delion, who's from Bolivia, I believe. And yeah, he could play Jack Draper, the British number one, world number five in the second round. That's going to be crazy. I hope that happens.
I'll definitely watch that. I hope that happens as well, because you know Uncle Monfils, when it's time to whoop these kids' ass, he's going to do it.
I can see that. I can see that being a five-setter though, Lucy.
I can see that being
an absolute tussle. Like,
I can see that being long, because the problem is you kids as well, you see Unc and you're thinking, yeah, shit smooth. Nah, man. Nah, bro.
He's chasing everything down, making you work.
Listen,
as well.
Monfils is going to make you guys work. He said, F y'all, man, I am here.
And then it'll be interesting. Lastly, Gabriel Giallo. So
yes,
he's got a tough one. So he's got the 18th seed, Francisco Girondolo from Argentina.
Ooh.
That's tough. But again, Giallo, he's had some good results.
Yeah,
Madrid last day. Like, come on.
So we'll see.
So I think, yeah, again, some good opening rounds there. And a lot to kind of be excited about, obviously. And just, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, Lucy, man. I can't wait. Sunday we get started.
Quick shout out to the qualifiers that we have left. By the time this pod will be out, they will probably be done. But Victoria Mbuko and Taylor Townsend are both having their final round. Obviously, not against each other, but they have individually their final round.
Yeah.
Victoria's apparently been playing really well. Taylor Townsend is actually her first like proper matches. Obviously, she was out for a little bit because of injuries. So
good to see her back.
Good to see her back.
I had no idea she was playing qualifying as well. I just assumed she'll be in the main draw,
for singles.
Yes. Yes.
I thought she would just play doubles. I didn't think she would go for singles as well. That was my thing. Since she just come back from injury and stuff.
She's got Daria Saville in the final round of qualifying, and Mbuko has Cara Yuvan.
Okay.
So
it'll be nice for them to grab it. So
two winnable matches, definitely. But yeah, no, of course.
And then a quick shout out to Sarah Arani, who announced that she's ending her single career. Oh, hey, might as well, legend. Bro. Listen, you're doing it, killing it, like, doubles. Exactly. That's true. She's done it all. So might as well, you know, and still pick up a little piece here and there, you know. So yeah, so shout out to Sarah. Thank you for the headache that you've given us against my queen, Serena. I will never forget that. I will probably tell my kids about their moments. You know? And now you're with our girl, Jasmine Paolini, for doubles and stuff. So, yeah, shout out to her. And now, predictions. Who do you have?
Ladies first.
Stop doing that, bro.
Ladies first.
Stop doing that. All right, boom. Men, I have Carlos Alcaraz.
She said earlier, yeah.
My baby goat. Women, I'm sorry, I'm not picking just one. I have two. Eva Sabalenka or Coco?
Oh, that's so boring. I'm joking. You have to give one though, Lucy. You have to give one, I'm sorry. Putting it on you.
When I say that, yeah, you're like, oh no, I can't pick. But cool. I'm gonna go for Coco. That draw is looking smooth.
Sound.
She's done two finals. I'm gonna put faith on my girl Coco. I feel like Wait, Sabalenka, what the further, you said that 2023 semi-finals, right? Yeah, I think Sabalenka will definitely make it second week, but I feel like people are aware. I feel like the players are quickly adapting to Sabalenka's level. Not game level,
style.
Sorry.
Game style.
Like her game style, like they know what to do. And to easily, I feel like Sabalenka, you can easily get into her head. Even though she's improved a lot mentally, you can easily get to her head. The thing with Sabalenka, that she has a lot of power. She is probably the only, one of the best servers right now on the tour. And I'm not even saying just WTA. I'm saying literally on the tennis tour, WTA and ATP. I think she's a fantastic
in
server.
Tennis.
In tennis, point blank period. And I think she doesn't get enough credit for how much she improved on the serve. After so many, bro, I couldn't believe, I look at Sabalenka like, bro, you have too much talent for you to be serving like that, and she worked on it so much. So it's going to be tough for some people, but again, Grand Slam, everyone is different, you know. I don't think people expected Qin Wen Zheng to knock her out at Rome Open, and here we are, you know. And she might be feeling tired, bro. Listen, hey, these kids today, they don't have the same stamina as like the players back in the days, you know. And rightfully so, they're playing more, they're playing longer. The game's more intense. It's not
people
the same.
People are better athletes, yeah.
People are better athletes, exactly. So she might, her body might be a little bit like, hey, let's calm down a little bit. So that's why I'm going more for Coco than Sabalenka, because Coco, she as an athlete, I feel like she's better than Sabalenka as an athlete. And I feel like the things that are avoiding her from winning these titles that she lost were just the errors and the double faults. If that did not happen, Eugene would have been back-to-back. She would have done a Serena Williams 2013, bro. Rome, Madrid, French Open. I'm
crazy.
Telling you. So I got my girl Coco and I got my boy Carlos Alcaraz. Bring it to me, baby.
I like that. I like that a lot.
What about you?
Yeah, of course. You probably know who I'm going for the women, of course.
Coco Gauff.
Exactly. And it is pretty much everything you said. But also, Lucy, during her speeches, during those finals, when she was giving her speech, I think it was it Madrid? Madrid first. Mm. She said, and again, I'm not quoting verbatim, but it was something along the lines of, I'm sorry, like, when she was thanking her team, she's like, oh, like, thanks obviously to my team. And hopefully next time, like, yeah, we'll be able to get the big one. And she kind of repeated that again at Rome. And I feel like the big one is Roland Garros. I feel like there's a lot of work. And clearly, yeah, the results have shown that, Madrid and Rome. But I feel like this year, she's been targeting Roland Garros, and I don't have any inside knowledge on that, but I just feel like this is the Grand Slam that she really wants this year. And I feel like she's going to be going all out. And I feel like the draw for a change kind of is looking nice. Like, it's worked out nicely in her favor. And I don't want to get too excited about that, but yeah, maybe it is omens. Like, let's see. But I just feel very confident about Coco Gauff's game right now. And I'm not,
I like that.
Of course, yeah, the final against Paolini, she didn't play well, but Paolini played outstanding.
And sorry, I have to cut you off then. And this is what I was a bit annoyed when I was, you know, reading some of the stuff. I feel like people just like, wait, but what? The level from Coco. It's not like Paolini was just standing there. Paolini played her best match of, like, to me, that was her best match of this season so far.
Yeah,
it was
her best match
of that tournament.
I wouldn't argue with that.
Anyway, so it's not like she lost to just one next player. She lost to a top seed, top ranked, on form player who came and played like a whole different level. So that's, and like I said, I think I even said it during our Rome Open review. That's why I wasn't too mad, because it's like, yo, Paolini was on smoke. Like,
The same could be said for Sabalenka in Madrid. Coco did play better, I thought, in that final, and she could 100%. Have won the second set. You were there for that. Like,
yeah, 100%.
But again, I looked at 11, I was like, you know what? She's playing good ball. Like, this is good tennis from Coco. So there's reasons to be very, despite the result, there's reasons to be very excited and like pleased with like how things are going right now. So I'm very confident about Coco Gauff winning Roland Garros 2025. For the men, I always struggle with the men. You know that. I'm going to say, it's going to be funny.
You're just going to be different and say Sinner, aren't you?
The thing is, Lucy, I feel like you mentioned Sinner Feast. I feel like if Feast can get through that match, my God.
I think the pressure would be too much.
Not you going back on your word.
No, I think, no, hold on. I said second week for Feast. I didn't say picking up the thingy, but I feel like if Feast, no, when I say pressure would be too much, I'm talking about if he beats Sinner.
And then the expectation after that.
And then the expectation of after that, I think.
I feel like the way he is, yeah, this is my segment now, let me talk. I feel like the way Feast is, yeah, I feel like that's also going to carry him and like kind of give him more, like, do you get me? Like, I'm the man. And he is the kind of player that can handle that, I feel, even though he's so young.
Mm.
So, am I going to say Feast to win the French Open?
Are you actually saying it? I mean, it's not crazy, you know. So, I mean, Chris from Tennis Weekly podcast said Madison Keys for Australian Open and she won it and everybody looked at him crazy. And that was a name out of nowhere. She did not even play. She was busy getting married.
You know, Lucy, I'm gonna put it out there.
You're saying after Feast to win a
grand slam. I'm gonna be on my shout out to my football fans or soccer fans. Ange Postecoglou. So Tottenham just beat Manchester United in the Europa League final. Mm-hmm. So Postecoglou, mm-hmm. who's the Tottenham manager, said wherever he goes, he always wins something in his second season. This is his second season.
I saw the thing. Yeah.
So it's like you have to believe in your shit. Like, so right now I'm believing in my prediction. Coco Gauff for the women. I'm gonna go Arthur Fils.
Wow. A French. Okay.
I'm going. But we've done it. Listen, tip it up. Arthur Fils winning the French Open in 2025.
Dead.
That's my story. Cool. I'm sticking to it, man.
And we're going to see how that goes. So, guys, tune in for the French Open. Starts on Sunday. Looking forward to it. More excited than I expected. Make sure that you give us a follow on socials to stay up to date. Obviously, we'll try our best to tweet on live matches, but on our Instagram, you know, there's daily posts on the matches. Follow us on the TikTok. Thank you so much on the engagement, guys. The comments on YouTube has been really great as well.
So, so good.
And we're glad that you guys are enjoying the consistency. We are trying. You know, and grass season is coming up. You know, our season is home time soon, baby. So, you know, we had to get you guys, you know, used to it. A lot of you guys are probably new here and you will see what we have for grass season. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Roland Garros. So let's see. Will it be Arthur Fils, Carlos Alcaraz, or will it be Coco Gauff or Coco Gauff?
Love that. What a way to end. Let's go. But yeah, guys, thank you for tuning in. Like Lucy said, just keep track or keep in touch on the socials. And yeah, we'll catch you on the next one.